Greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning, and may the peace of God rest upon our lives today. Welcome to our visitors, and I guess that would include you, Marianne, as well. There you are. It's been a long time, so yeah, welcome home. For a starting verse, turn to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. It says here, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Yesterday, I had to do the yearly thing, and that was do inventory for tax time, preparation for tax time. The government wants us to do inventory because they don't want to be cheated on taxes. If our books just show that there is a loss of so many thousands of dollars, it would cut into their taxes, but really, in all reality, we transferred it over to inventory. They don't want that. So they want us to do inventory every year at the end of the year, and they will compare what we had in to start with at the start of the year, what we ended up with the end of the year, how much difference is inventory, the dollar's worth, and they calculate that all into their income tax thing. Now, it's also good to do inventory from a business standpoint, just to simply know where we're at, whether we are making progress or losing money, just spinning wheels. You know, material that we have on stock, supplies, product can seriously cut into the bottom line and make that line look as if there's no money there at all. So, you know, our bottom line in a business may say that there is a loss of $50,000. But when we take inventory, we may find that there's only $25,000 in inventory. So we did have a loss of $25,000. But it also may reveal that we have $75,000 to $100,000 in inventory. Therefore, we made some more money. So inventory is a very important part of business. Even if we don't stock any product or material, we still should take inventory of where we're at. This morning I was thinking of our receipts and the books business. And I thought of some of these things that make a difference, what we should be and can be and are worried about sometimes, as Johnny mentioned this morning. Number one is our sales. Sales and other income, that is, of course, at the top. If it wouldn't be for sales, we wouldn't go anywhere. Then we also have losses. Those can be obvious. Or otherwise, maybe we don't quite see them so quick. There are what they call the cost of goods sold. There's subcontractor labor. There's employee payroll, overhead costs, vehicle expenses, whether we take it in mileage or actual cost. There's advertising and promotion. Equipment rental, repairs, insurances, and there's probably more, but those were some of the things that I thought about as we consider our bottom line. Those all come into play there. But more important than our physical business or material business is to do this in a spiritual sense. Where are we at in our spiritual life? We may, at the beginning of the year, struggle with one thing and hopefully through the year we will gain victory, gain ground. But we, you know, a lot of times we don't stop and think until we are brought up face to face with this thing, and we have to take stock of it. Is it possible that we sometimes get a business attitude, a business mentality into our spiritual life? And what I mean by that is we start doing inventory of our spiritual life. Okay, we have quiet time this morning. Check. We got that done. We got quiet time. That's it. Maybe we'll just write some of these things down. Okay, the next one is prayer time. Check, we did that. Giving. Could be in money. Usually that's our, you know, that's what we do on Sunday morning, so we check, we got that done. Thought of preaching a message. Check. Witnessing. Check that. We're honest in business. I think we could check that too, yeah. We don't commit adultery. Check that. We don't swear. Check that. We tell the truth. Check that. We're non-conformed. The list could go on. But at times we get to the point where, okay, we have quiet time this morning. We done that. It's good. We have our prayer. And hey, we got it done, right? We give to the Lord. Hey, we gave a check this morning. We gave cash, whatever we gave this morning. And that's good. It's commanded by Jesus to give our alms. Some of us are called to preach a message. And again, that could be just a thing that we can do on our own strength. All of these we could probably do in our own strength. We can witness to our neighbors, our friends, and just go through the motions and again try to check it off. Honest and fair in business. Romans 12 tells us, Romans 12 is just a chapter full of instructions. But verse 11 says, don't be slothful in business. Be, you know, get, do put your heart to it. There's many, many, many verses that would tell us that we don't commit, we're not to commit adultery with our, you know, with other people. It says, swear not at all. We're not to swear. We're not to curse. We're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. We're also not to say, I swear. That's part of swearing. So we check that off. Hey, we don't do that. We tell the truth. Yes, absolutely. Check. We're non-conformed in dress. We're non-resistant in life. So we check that off too. We got it done. Matthew 23, verse 23 tells us, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise, I think is the word, way you pronounce that word, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Now, before you think that I am saying these things are not important, I'm not saying that at all. But these things we need to do, but not leave the other things that I'm going to be mentioning undone. So all of us have the privilege to have quiet time, whether you do it in the morning, whether you do it in the evening, is good. And we sometimes think that quantity, what I mean by quantity is hours, minutes, hours spent in quiet time is good. So we set a time, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, hour, and we kind of suffer through this thing, but we get it done. And that's good. It's good to do it. But let's remember that quality time is better. Quality time with God is better. Does God meet with us in our private time, in our quiet time? Or are we just going through the motions that it needs to be done, so therefore we do it on our own strength? We don't really meet God in our quiet time. God has to meet with us before it's quality time. Now, in our prayers, I'm going to be going over these a little bit more, not so spending a lot of time on each one. Did God hear the prayer you said this morning? We trust He did. But a lot of times the condition of our prayer being heard is our own life. The Bible tells us that, I didn't think about it till just now, that your prayers be not hindered. Can somebody help me out on that one? That verse, I'm sorry? James 5:16. That's not the verse I meant. It says that your prayers be not hindered. It has the thought of our relationship with our... thought it was... 1 Peter 3:7? Yes. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So has God heard your prayer this morning? Are you able to meet God with the relationship that you have with your wife? Sister, mother. Was your mind on your prayer? You know, that's something that I struggle with sometimes. I'm praying and all of a sudden I kind of wake up to the fact that I have no idea what I've been praying. I just wonder what happened here. And I don't believe that God is honored through that type of a prayer. God is wanting a heart that is connected with Him. So just being in the form of prayer is not enough. You know, as you shared your offering this morning, was it with joyfulness? Was it with joyfulness? Did you give it gladly, or was it kind of, ooh, it hurt that pocketbook. I just don't know if I can do this again. Have we given ourselves to the disposal of God? Is God able to call on us when He needs something done? Are you available? Offering is more than just giving money. It's giving time, life, talents, our whole being. You know, as we spoke to our neighbor and preached that message, did we come across as judgmental? Or can they feel a genuine compassion, a loving heart, trying to reach out and help them in time of their need? Or was it simply done out of duty? You know, we can do something out of duty, knowing, that if we don't warn them, their blood is going to be required of our hands. Possibly the Lord can work through that because His word is not limited to man's, His word is not limited to the way that man presents it. In other words, His word is alive. But the blessing is going to be lost on us if we do not have compassion or a loving heart, or if we come across as judgmental. You know, we may put a premium on honesty for the sake that it helps us in getting more business. We can do that. And that's about as far as that desire to be honest goes. Again, I'd like to ask us, our fairness and our honesty go further than just our business life? Are we fair with our children, our brothers and sisters in the church? Are we fair in our evaluation of their conduct, attitude of their life? Are we able to give the other person the benefit of the doubt when something questionable, according to our standards, is said or done? Or said about a brother or sister? In the business life, it's pretty easy. I've been asked numerous times, do you accept cash? And I say, well, yeah, sure, it's just as good as a check. And they say, oh, well, then we want a break. They want a tax break. They want me to give them a certain percent less, do it for a certain percent less, because they expect that I don't have to report that cash. I tell them, well, you can give me cash, but I'll still report it. So there is no discount. Well, then they're okay with check. They're okay with whatever. Do we report our income as actual income? Or do we like to portray our income as lower and our expenses as higher than it actually is? Adultery. No, we don't do that. We don't go out and commit adultery. But the Bible says that if we look at a woman with lust, we have already committed adultery. Are we free from that? Have we committed adultery in our heart, spiritual adultery? Oh, we would never fall down and worship something other than God. Are we sure? If we do not give God his rightful place in our life, I believe if as we have given ourselves to him in the past and we withdraw that, we are committing spiritual adultery. We worship something else and we love something else other than God. We wouldn't curse and swear. But we would want to tell the truth. Do we tell the truth in love? Do we tell the truth even though it doesn't really help anybody that we're telling it to as far as to remedy the situation? We can have evil imaginations, we can sow discord, evil reports among our brethren, but no, we don't tell the untruth. We don't swear, we don't curse. We can withhold forgiveness, maybe because he didn't ask for it. He didn't deserve it. Forgiveness is not so much for the other person as it is for ourselves. We need to forgive for our own benefit. You know, there are some things that are true that should be left unsaid. And what I mean by that is an example would be experiences and hurts in our past life that by telling, yes, it may be true, but we put the other person or maybe even a church in a bad light, and by us telling the people that we're telling it to, if it absolutely doesn't help at all the situation, if it doesn't help the situation at all, if it doesn't make any difference or does any good whatsoever in telling it, why say it? We're not saying it in love. It may justify ourselves in harboring this hurt, but it doesn't help the situation, and I don't believe that in that situation it's told in love. So if we cannot speak kindly, if we cannot speak it in love, if we cannot speak it with the desire to help remedy the situation, then let's not say it. You know, we may be as non-conformed in our dress as we are and be as worldly in our hearts as we ever can be. God must work in our hearts to change it from being worldly to godly. This is not something that we can accomplish on our own strength. It's the work of God. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us, again, it was mentioned, verse 1 and 2, is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That transforming is the thing of being changed from one to another, being completely changed from worldliness to godliness. That is the work of God. We can put on plain clothes in an unconverted state, but we cannot be non-conformed in our own heart on our own strength. We need to be transformed. Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the prodigal son. And I'd like to read that, verse 11 through 32. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son went all together, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh into the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This story is a story of the young man that took his own way. He lived for himself. He was in dire straits. And as he came to himself, the Bible says he came to himself. In other words, he started analyzing his life. He started thinking of what he had and what he has. He started thinking of where he is and where he could be. He started thinking about life. And it's a reminder that if we truly analyze our life, if we truly see where we're at, it will drive us to the Father. Because that's where the answers are. That's where peace is. It drives us to the Father of life, the giver of peace, joy, and satisfaction. This young man, as he was in the father's employment, looked out and thought he saw freedom and happiness. What he found was a lot of wild living, fair weather friends that were along for the ride. When he was out of money, he had no friends, no job, and no food. He was in a desperate state. He also tried to fill his inner need with things hard to come by, things that were hard to digest. You know, the pod of the carob tree is, I think, what they were talking about here, according to Bible dictionaries. But the bean of this tree is what they use to make substitute chocolate. But he wasn't, you know, his diet wasn't the bean, it was the pod. It was a horny, just kind of a prickly pod. I don't know how big, but it was something that the hogs ate in famine, and that's all he had to eat. Well, he didn't even get that. And as he thought of his situation here, in his desperate need, he thought of God. He thought of his father. And the superabundance that the hired servants had, the not just the sons or the children, but the servants. The servants, the good life that they had, the good food and the love that they experienced. The word in can't find that word. It's the verse 17, I think it is. It says, "Bread enough" is the same word that it uses, or a form of the word that it uses in Ephesians 3, verse 20, where it says that God can do more abundantly than we can even ask or think. That's what that word means, and that's what this boy was thinking about when he thought of his father. Was the super abundance of love and food at his father's place. So it drove him back and be reunited with his father. He received forgiveness, he received love, and he received care, which I believe included the physical and spiritual. And he received food. Psalms 119, verse 10 and 11 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Can we seek the Lord this morning with our whole heart? Everything that we have, everything that we can even begin to imagine, just seek the Lord and allow him to work his work in our lives. Psalm 119:59 says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." As we analyze our life, does it drive us to the Father, or does it drive us to despair? There's a difference. Depends where our focus is. Hebrews 13, verse 20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." This morning, the desire of the Lord is to make you perfect in through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jude 24 tells us, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen." This morning, I'd like to encourage us, as we analyze our life, as we take inventory of our spiritual life, that we might not just check it off with a self-satisfied, self-effort, human, I don't know how I can word this, but not to just be satisfied because we did it, but to really, truly analyze what, you know, how can we better serve the Lord? And how can we more in a godly way fulfill the desire of God in our life? Let's kneel for prayer.